Well, if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the second book of Samuel, chapter 18. Now, you'll know that on our website we have recorded sermons, and I'm going through 2 Samuel. So you may have come across the text before if you have been following that series. Yet there's something in chapter 18 of 2 Samuel which I want to dwell on today. I want to spend a bit more time considering it. And it's just a few verses. It will be a very short word. Chapter 18 of 2 Samuel, verses 18. In fact, it is just verse 18, just the one verse. It's not a short verse. Let me read it to you. Now Absalom, in his lifetime, had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's Monument. Well, a single verse which has for me a number of questions to ask. First of all, what was it? Well, the text tells us it was a pillar. It was something made of stone, a monument which stood up out of the ground. We don't know how high it was, but presumably it was rather impressive. Here is somebody wanting to make a name for himself. When was it put up? Well, the text tells us at the beginning of the verse it was during his lifetime. Now, you might think, well, yeah, of course, when else would he have put it up? Well, let's remember that the context of this verse is that Absalom has just died. Now, usually we put monuments up to people when they have died. We look back upon their lives, we're grateful for what they've done, and we want to commemorate them. But Absalom is commemorating himself. He does it for himself while he is still alive. It's almost as though he's living as though this earthly life is all there is. And we live in a world in which most people, certainly in our country, live as though this short experience on earth is all you're going to get. Have you heard that expression, you only live once? Make the most of life, you won't get another. And actually, those statements are true. But the life we have will last forever. The Bible says we are made in God's image. I don't think that refers to appearance. I think it refers to the kind of life we have. Unlike the life of a plant or an animal, which dies with the body, the human spirit will always outlive the soul. And yet many people today wonder about as though this is the only life they have. And Absalom appears to be thinking that way too. He knows his days are numbered. He knows he will not be in the body forever, yet he needs a pillar of stone to immortalize himself. Secondly, I think he's terrified of being forgotten. Now, I'm not a famous person, and I don't know many famous persons. I don't know what it's like for most people in the street to know who I am, to have an opinion about me, perhaps even to like me. Yet if you've been raised on that fair of fame, the thought of people not knowing who you are, if you've been enjoying it, must be a terrible prospect. Absalom, of course, in his prime, was the most famous man in the country. He even usurped David from his throne. And yet this pillar indicates a fear in his heart. He's afraid of being forgotten. He wants to be remembered. The third reason, I think, is that he's fully aware that all his achievements are going to be undone. Now, how would it make you feel if you know that everything you've done in your life, maybe you've built a house or you made a change to something at work,
is all going to be undone.
It's like when you move from your house. You may have decorated it, you may love the colour scheme, but the new people, when they come in, you know what, they're going to start from scratch. They're going to put colours on the wall that you might not like because they don't like the colours you put on the wall. And you've got to accept that. You can't go back and object to their colour scheme. Absalom knows that all his achievements are like the morning dew. They look good now, but they won't last. Can I contrast that with what we do for Christ? As a Christian, the service you perform for Jesus Christ and for his people will still be talked about in eternity. The earthly achievements and accomplishments, the feathers in your cap that you have accumulated over a lifetime, will be forgotten. Now, for godless people like Absalom, that's a terrifying prospect. For the believer, it doesn't matter, because our lives are hid with Christ on high. And you might be an insignificant person in an insignificant part of the world, but let me assure you, you are of more interest to the angels than whatever dictator or singer or sportsman will ever be. What we do for Christ will be both rewarded and remembered. We don't need to think and be like Absalom. The next question I asked is, where did he erect the pillar? Well, we're told it was in the king's valley, the valley of the kings. Now, Absalom was never truly a king. He was the son of a king. He kicked a king off his throne. But he never truly, really, genuinely became king. But he makes a point of erecting his memorial in the valley of kings. You see, he wants to be something special. He wants to be remembered as a ruler. Let me assure you, outside of Christ, we're nothing. We're just the fallen and corrupted children of Adam. In Christ, we are a holy nation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, God's own treasured possession. I love that expression, in Christ. The Bible uses it so much. It means that we are in him, we are identified with him, and therefore we are co-heirs with him. The great future, the glory that he now has in heaven, will one day be ours, for we will share it with him. And yet there's poor Absalom, determined to have a memorial in the place to which he is not entitled. He did not belong there, and he won't be remembered for being a king. He'll only be remembered for being a rebel. He wasn't entitled. What about why he does it? Well, the text gives us a reason. He said, I have no son to keep my name. Now, when we first come across him, he has three sons. So the question we must ask is, well, what has happened to them? The Bible does not supply the answer. Did they die of illness? Maybe. Did they run away? I don't know. Did they die in battle? Perhaps. But by the time we come to the erection of the pillar, the sons are no more. He has no heirs, no one to carry on the family name. It's almost as though he wanted to live through them.
Seven.
The Christian parent has no need to live through their child because their life is in Christ. Only God is the source and meaning of life. Mm-hmm. Therefore, those without children or those who have lost them need not fear. They need not be like Absalom. We're told he calls the pillar after himself. He was so fond of popularity. He was so fond of being liked. He so much enjoyed the adulation of the people of Israel. He could not bear to think that one day he will not be important. He wanted future generations to be as fond of him as his own generation. Well, in one respect, he got half of his wish. 3,000 years later, we are still talking about him. But we don't remember him as a great king. We remember him as a rebel and a usurper. Well, what was God's opinion? The Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians in his second letter, the fifth chapter. It reads, "For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed, having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit, a guarantee." And then in verse 9, "Therefore we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." In my closing exhortation, let me encourage you, don't be like Absalom. Don't consider this short, fleeting life to be the sum of your existence. It's not. Don't look back at your life and think what little you have achieved, because Christ has achieved a great deal for you. And if you're a Christian, you are in him. Let your boasting be in him, not in what you have achieved. And let me also encourage you in light of what the apostle wrote there to the Corinthians. Let's live for him. Not for our own sake, not for our own reputation, not for our own grandeur, but live for Christ. May we decrease and him increase. Of course, this morning, we looked at Christ's memorial. It wasn't a pillar going up to the sky, but some bread and some wine in a glass. The immortal God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lights became a humble bondservant whose memorial now is bread and wine. Whereas Absalom was nothing but wanted to be a somebody. Christ, who was everything, gave up all that he might become one of us and that we might join with him. Don't worry about legacy, about what you've done with your life or what you haven't done with your life. Consider yourself in Christ. Reckon yourself as his and his alone. For of a human being, nothing greater can be said. Let me close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for the word that we've received. May you remind us of it in days and weeks to come. In Jesus' name, amen.